want a piece of me?
Who I feel like. Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I am serious. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz baby with you.
I am your father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
What's up, film fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome to episode 287. Welcome to our year-end review, and welcome to a new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan. I am joined by the cast, the crew, the fellas. Zach?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Jay?
How's it going, everybody?
What's up, man? How's everybody doing? Good weather where you're at, Jay?
Yeah, it's not too bad out there. It's got a little wind. Other than that, it's pretty nice out.
Good. Zach, what about you? How was your weekend?
Been good, pretty good. Just, you know, it's Oscar Sunday. It's time for our awards episode. And let's talk about 2023.
Let's get rid of 2023. We're out with the old and with the new. I can actually say I watched more movies last year, new movies, than I probably ever have in my entire existence. But making this list was probably pretty easy. I feel like last year, with all the quantity of movies, there wasn't that much good quality.
I agree. I only seen 21 movies last year. So I had a pretty short pickings of what I've seen and hadn't seen. So my top 10, 5 will be pretty out there.
Yeah, I saw about 85 films for 2023. I feel like that was less from last year. But yeah, it was an interesting year. I feel like overall the year, I feel like with the exception of the Barbenheimer thing with Oppenheimer and Barbie, I feel like a lot of the blockbusters this summer kind of fell short, either didn't make money or just weren't very good. And a lot of the better films are probably more of the independent released or, you know, not bigger blockbuster films.
Well, before we can get into it, let's just start off with something, maybe some recent watches. If anybody has anything they want to get off their chest or anything they recommend, I'll go first real quick. It was a real short week. I didn't get a lot of time to snag some stuff in. I am still watching The Office. I'm almost done with season 2. Other than that, I checked out Poor Things with Emma Stone, which is on Hulu if anybody else wants to check it out. I also checked out American Friction, which is on MGM Plus. And then I watched Napoleon today. Napoleon was, give or take, probably, I think I could have went 2023 or this year without seeing it. it's okay. Same thing about Poor Things. American Friction was the better of the three. So, other than that, check out The Office on Peacock. American Friction is on MGM Plus. Napoleon is on Apple TV, and Poor Things is on Hulu right now. But it comes out on physical media on Tuesday. So, Jay, what about you? Do you have anything you want to recommend, or do you have anything that you've been watching lately?
Well, I bit the bullet and I watched Madam Web. It wasn't as bad as said, but I had my problems with it. I watched Migration last night. That one was pretty good. Short tale for kids, but cool animation. It was funny. I laugh at it. And then I watched Ricky Stenicki with John Cena. That's on. It was hilarious. So,
is that the one on Hulu?
No, it's on, I think, Amazon Prime.
Prime.
Yeah, it's got Zac Efron, John Cena.
Zac Efron is doing a wide range of things right now, and I gotta say, I think I like it.
Yeah.
I laughed heartily. So if you can, if you want to see it, check it out. Ricky Stenicki.
I like the name. I think I might check it out this week. It's always good to find something that you can laugh at. So, Zach, what about you? You have anything that you want to recommend, or did you? What did you check out this week?
I'll be honest. I'm just getting ready for this episode, so just finishing up watching the movies that are on my list. Other than that, it's kind of been a dead week. So,
dead week. If you guys want to check out anything that we are doing on Instagram, Facebook, any of the social medias, check it out. Facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Instagram is all one word, / The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. X is at cinnamon405. And then email us at cinemen921@gmail.com. On those social media links, you can find all of our links to Linktree. You can also find all the links to any of the past episodes we've ever done. And right now, you can win a free month of Peacock. Thanks to 2K and WWE 2K24. Go. All you have to do is share, like, comment. You can get a whole month free of Peacock. So other than that, what are we waiting for? Let's dig into it. Let's start. Underrated movie of 2023. I don't know if it's underrated, but I surely dug it. I enjoyed it. And I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it. So my underrated movie of 2023 is going to be Wonka.
That's one of the lists that I haven't seen yet.
Of course you're going to have a lot of people that like nay and say about the original than the one with Johnny Depp, but this one was fun, lighthearted, had good meaning, had good story. I think Timothy Chalamet, I think he embraces the Wonka character more than Johnny Depp did. And I would almost put him up there with like a pretty good performance, not as good as Gene Wilder, but I think he's my second favorite Wonka. So that's my underrated movie. So, Jay, you have an underrated movie from last year?
I do. It's Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves.
Oh yeah, that
one. It was good. It had a good action plot. It had good action completely. It was the acting was good. So you guys might actually enjoy it. It's funny. Chris Pine is funny in it. You know, everybody does their role. Michelle Rodriguez does her role. She plays. Oh, what does she play? I can't remember. I'm not going to bore you with it. But the cast is real good. Yeah.
Sorry. Check it out. I started Dungeons and Dragons a few months ago, but I need to get back into it. I never did finish it. So, Zach, what about you? What's your underrated movie for 2023?
My underrated film of 2023 is definitely, it came out April of last year. Kind of fell under the radar. No one talked about it. Then you watched it and said, hey, you need to check this out. And yeah, mine's The Covenant with Jake Gyllenhaal. The war movie with him, the interpreter, and it's a very, very powerful, very, very good war movie.
This one should be fun. Favorite comedy of 2023 last year. There's always a lot of comedies, but I'm gonna have to say, I'll go with Barbie. You know, I think I laughed more at Barbie than I did probably any other movie last year. And I know it's probably not supposed to be like a true comedy, kind of has that feel of like a satire with it. But, you know, I had a hell of a good time with it, checked it out a few more times after the theater watch, and it's funny. So Barbie is my favorite comedy last year. What about you, Jay?
I went with No Hard Feelings with Jennifer Lawrence. I thought I haven't seen many comedies, so it was pretty narrow. So just seeing her get kicked in the pussy was funny. If you've seen look at you laugh. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
They're
swimming naked in the ocean and they get their clothes stolen. So she goes out to try to beat up the people stealing their clothes and she gets pussy punted. And how can you not laugh at that?
We reviewed that movie last year, and we kind of had a debate. We were like, do you think that was a body double, or you think that was really Jennifer Lawrence in there?
I think it was really her because of those damn leaked pictures that came out. That's definitely her body.
I forgot about that movie. Yeah, that's a good one. Zach, what about you? What's your favorite comedy?
I'm going to have to agree with Jay. No Hard Feelings. I think it was one of the better movie experiences I had last year. And yeah, it was good to see Jennifer Lawrence. We know that she can do drama and action. It was cool for her to do a comedy, and she really succeeded at that. So
she did. She nailed it pretty good. Yeah. This is where we might have some fun comments on overrated movie of last year. I actually recently watched one today. I think it's Napoleon. I'm going to go with Napoleon. You know, all the hype surrounding this movie. Go check it out on the biggest screen possible. I didn't get to do that, but, you know, just sitting back and when you got Ridley Scott, you got Joaquin Phoenix, you got, you know, Napoleon, almost going towards like the French Revolution and stuff. Like, you thought it was going to be an epic. You thought it was going to be a badass war movie. And it was kind of like anything but that. It was just pretty much, I felt throughout the whole movie, it was Napoleon getting pissed because the woman he wanted to mate with couldn't have kids. So he's pissed and whiny, and like, all he's trying to do is just fuck in this movie. And I'm like, dude, I wanted to see a war epic, and that's not what you get.
You got a character study instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I also thought the editing in that movie was pretty bad. Like, it was really choppy.
And that makes you wonder, like, you know, what's going on? We're years moved away from the pandemic. None of that should be going on anymore. Not unless they had to go and fight around Joaquin Phoenix's filming schedule with Bo is Afraid. I'm not sure. But you know what? It was a little overrated to me. It was 2 hours and almost 40 minutes that I really want back. So that's mine. What about you, Jay?
I'm going to go with Barbie. I haven't seen it, so I can't sit there and say on the quality, but with it being everywhere and how much money it made, I just found that it's an overrated movie. I've heard reviews from my people. You know, I've read reviews. It's my buddy Sam sat there and told me, he was like, dude, I took my daughter to go see it. Even she looked at me like, what the hell is this? So I was like, all right. So, and she's supposed to be the target audience. You know, she's 9 years old and she didn't care for it.
You know, I made the same mistake. I took my daughter to go see it too. She's nine. And then I was like, why was I laughing more than she was? And it was actually the quite opposite. Like, the movie does portray, it's supposed to be towards like 9 year olds. But I feel like the movie is trying to portray like 17, 18 year olds because of all the stuff it talks about. And not like almost 90% of the jokes just went over her head because she still was too young to understand most of it. So I can definitely see the overhypeness though about all the money it made, all the accolades it's getting. And
is it really best picture material? Let's be honest.
I don't think it is, but I think it's the reason it's being nominated. I really do think is because of the Zach, help me out here. How would you explain it? Not the satireness of it, but just the making fun of its own,
the social commentary.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that, but
it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's I liked Barbie. I thought it was way better than it probably deserved to be honest.
Yes.
But I agree with you. I mean, you literally, one of the America Ferrera's daughter, not real life daughter, but the character is a 16-year-old girl in high school. So it's like that, how does Barbie look through a 16-year-old's eyes, essentially? And that's kind of like, it revolves, the majority of the movie revolves around that.
So, Zach, what about you, overrated?
Jay, you're not going to like me. My overrated is Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. I don't get it, to be honest. I mean, I don't play Dungeons & Dragons. I kind of thought the cast was not very good. I didn't think the action was great. And to me, I just thought it was boring, to be honest. So It's like 91% are on Tomatoes. I'm just like, what? Why? Why is this movie 91%? I don't get it. So,
it kind of reminded me of a fun time. Like, what's that movie with Mila Jovovich a few years ago about monsters?
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Monster Hunter. Yeah, you're right.
There you go. Yeah. I think Dungeons and Dragons, from what I saw, was fun, but I do feel like maybe it was just maybe a tad too long. I don't know.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. I'll have to try to go and finish it. Let's talk about some favorite TV shows. This one was really hard to nail down to just one. And then looking at all the stuff that came out last year, I almost want to say my favorite 1A and favorite B, but I'll choose between two. It was between Beef, the A24 show on Netflix, but ultimately I had to give it to The Bear season 2 on Hulu. Yep. That's my favorite TV show from last year, just because in what, 8 episodes, 25 minutes apiece, The Bear just delivered. It was funny. It was drama filled. It was sentimental. The Bear just, man, for the second year in a row, it's my favorite TV show. Season 1 last year and season 2 2023.
Season 2 outdid season 1 for sure. I mean, every episode, you have no idea what's going to happen, and just you can cut the intensity with a knife. It's just that good.
Even the little cameo from Jamie Lee Curtis in the Holiday episode, like it was phenomenal. So if you have not seen it, if anybody hadn't seen it, go check it out. I literally started it episode 1. I finished episode 8 like in a matter of like what, 5 hours, because they're only 20 minutes apiece, 30 minutes apiece. So yeah. What about you, Jay? Do you have a favorite TV show from last year?
I went with The Last of Us. Again, they were able to take 10 episodes and fully do justice a 16 to 20 hour game. And the episode with Bill and Frank, that episode was heartbreaking and it was good. But then every episode had some certain quality to them. Like, I remember this from the game. I know why they're doing it. And the changes they made sense. You know, the storyline made sense. You know, the cinematography was awesome looking. You know, the rundown, dilapidated future.
You were a huge fan of the game, Jay. I remember you telling me about the game. Is season 1 just about the first game? Because I know there's a Last of Us Part 2, right? And is that supposed to be season 2?
Yeah, that's supposed to be season 2. The first season is the entire first game.
Okay.
Yep. Episode 1 is basically the first... The prologue and like the first 20 minutes of the game, story wise. So, but Bill and Frank's story is told from a different point of view, because you don't meet Frank at all in the video game. Frank is dead by the time you meet him in the video game. He's mentioned in the video game because he got bit and he kills himself.
Oh, shit.
Whereas in the show, Frank gets sick, and Bill and Frank just go out together. You know, they go out. I'm not trying to run it. I spoil it for you if you haven't seen it.
I saw, like I said, I've seen episode 1 and maybe half of 2.
That's what I mean by the changes that they've made, is that when in the video game, you show up to Bill's town and Bill helps you along to get a battery for a car, and you get a car from him and he helps you out. But Bill's dead by the time you get to Bill and Frank's town and the show. So, but changes were good. So I enjoyed the hell out of that show.
I hear nothing but good things. So I'm excited to finish watching it. Zach, what about you? Do you have a favorite TV show?
My favorite TV show is, like Jay, The Last of Us. You have two powerhouse performances with Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. And I agree with you, Jay, that Bill and Frank episode, it's heartbreaking, it's emotional, those characters are in the game, but it's its own little thing. And I think the thing that the strongest thing about this show is that the creators took their time with it. They wanted to give the show, the game, an adaptation that it truly deserved. And they changed a couple things, but it makes sense cinematically. And plus the clickers and all the different monsters, they look excellent. I think season two comes out next year, I believe, 2025. So yeah, I'm really, really excited to see what they're going to do in season two. I haven't played The Last of Us Part Two, so I don't know what's going to happen next.
I have, and that video game is very divisive. Did it piss people off?
Yeah, I've heard.
For numerous reasons, there wasn't just one reason. The tone of the game, how they portrayed characters, and they did this and that. I was like, oh shit, they're screwed. But I enjoyed it though.
And I gotta say, the reason 1923 wasn't in my probably contending is because I haven't seen it yet. So, Zach, you created a Yellowstone monster when you introduced me to it for a few years ago. So, I'm just I'm involved in that universe, and I should have bought it on Black Friday, but I'm excited to try to check out 1923. But so let's take a break from our favorite categories throughout the year. Or let's go ahead and do a few more. Let's do one more. Let's do favorite horror movie from last year. This one was tough. I wanted to go with the big blockbuster of the year. I wanted to go with Scream, but I just couldn't. So I'm going to go with Talk to Me. So that was my favorite horror movie of last year. Jay, what about you?
I'm going to go with Scream because that was the only horror movie I seen last year.
Let me talk to you about it then for just a little bit.
Go ahead.
I enjoyed the entire thing leading up until the reveal, and then the reveal just kind of ruined it for me, maybe because I wasn't expecting them to bring back, you know, Richie's family from the previous film. Everything just felt like a big reveal, but then I was just kind of let down with the reveal. Like, how did you feel about it?
The reveal was fine to me. I thought it made sense. I thought it was cool that they're tying. I thought it was cool where you had a problem with it. I thought it was cool that they were tying it in with the last one, and that, you know, Richie just wasn't this. It adds more to five. You know, you find out Richie was completely obsessed with this. And when you see the collection room, that right there was, I thought that was slick as shit. They're just showing you all the, and they did it in universe where it's like stab movies, but then real stuff. You know, I like that. I thought that was cool. So that's why I went with Scream 6. Plus, like I said, it's the only horror movie I seen last year. I'm not a big fan of horror.
Man. Zach, what about you?
My favorite horror movie, which is probably would be surprising to you, Johnny, Evil Dead Rise. It was kind of a fun theater experience. I was going to go with Saw 10, but I just had a little bit more enjoyable experience with Evil Dead Rise. I think like they understood what Evil Dead is, and just the gore, the graphic nature of it really brought it back to basics, essentially.
Saw 10 could have made it for me too, but I don't think a almost 2-hour horror movie, and then they sandwiched it. It's, you know, in between. I think it's almost a direct sequel to the first one now.
Yeah.
So the way you're supposed to watch them now, Saw 1, Saw 10, and then Saw 2. Yeah. So, but I mean, it was fun. Yeah. Like I said, I just had pacing issues.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I liked the moral story of Saw 10, but to be honest, I don't think the traps were as creative as some of them have been in the past.
Well, let's get ready to dig into our top 5 plus 5. This is going to be pretty interesting. We're going to go off maybe some honorable mentions, and then we're going to name number 10 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
decisions were tough for me, but I'm going to go ahead and go with John Wick Chapter 4, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Priscilla, and then my official honorable mention, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated movie.
Nice.
What about you, Jay? You have any anything you want to mention?
I have no honorable mentions. I just did the top 10.
Okay.
My top 10.
Okay. Zach, any honorable mentions?
I'm going to go with the Iron Claw, which we're going to be talking about here in a couple weeks. Barbie, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and my official honorable mention is, which may be surprising to some, given how much I love the first two, Creed 3. I still think Michael B. Jordan did an excellent job at the direction. Jonathan Majors, even though everything that's gone on with him, he is a very compatible villain to Adonis. I just still miss the
too.
Yeah. I really do miss the Stallone mentorship that was in the first two films. So.
Number 10. Zach, let's go ahead and start with you. You start us off. What's your number 10?
Number 10 is my favorite comedy, No Hard Feelings. Like I said, Jennifer Lawrence nailed it in this movie. I thought she was really good. It was fun for her to do something different. When we did our episode back in August, I think you and Craig kind of had some predictability issues. I think, you know, you can probably guess that movie a mile away, but I had fun with it. I liked the two leads. They had good chemistry. And to me, this is like the first raunchy rom-com we've gotten in a long, long time, to be honest. And they really, it was just real fun. And I laughed probably in this movie more than any other this year. So that's my number 10.
Nice. Jay, what about you? What's number 10 for you?
I might get some laughs on this one, but I put The Flash. Just, I thought it was a cool visual looking movie.
You know, I was, it's
first time I seen it, I was on shrooms, I'm not gonna lie. And the visuals were that's what made me like it.
I wanted to like it. It was still nostalgia feeling seeing Batman and Michael Keaton in there. I mean, I didn't hate it. I just thought it was okay. I just wish it was I probably say the only reason I didn't love it was because there's going to be no real conclusion to it, because I think that's just the end of that universe.
It is.
Yeah. But yeah, I had a hard time. I was still debating where to put it in this list.
There were some choices that could have been made differently in the movie, but overall, I thought it was a good movie.
What did you think of the Supermans at the end? Did you like it?
It was cool. The special effects, everybody bitches about the special effects. I thought a lot of them were all right. Some of them were real bad. Don't get me wrong. But
I thought it was Superman, cool seeing, yeah, seeing those.
The Superman scene was cool because it looked like Christopher Reeves.
Yep.
You know, whenever they try to sit there and digitally duplicate somebody, usually there's something wrong. And in this case, I didn't find that they did a bad job on anybody that they were showing from past shows.
Yeah.
Damn you, Zack Snyder. I wish we could continue. Number 10 for me is currently streaming on Netflix, if anybody else wants to check it out. But it's the David and Goliath story about GameStop. Number 10 for me is Dumb Money. I had a really good time watching this. It was funny. I always like those true story kind of what happened to this person. And the movie does really good about telling you each story from Paul Dano's character, Pete Davidson, Seth Rogen. I love those based on a true story movies like Social Network, and Dumb Money was just, it was fun. The pacing was good. It was an hour and 45 minutes. And you kind of get on the edge of your seat about, man, you know, is he going to live this through? Is he going to survive it? And it really is cool to see something like this really, really happen in real life. And I recommend it, you know. Dumb Money is my number 10, so check it out. Zach, what's number 9?
Number 9, saw this in the theater. All these films were theater experiences, so. But number 9, after I just, I was excited about it to go back to this franchise. I was like, I don't know if we need to do it, but you know, money talks. So you know how that is. Number 9 is Hunger Games: The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I just something about it afterwards. I just kept thinking about it, and I rewatching it when it hit Blu-ray. I still had fun with it. I think the two leads with Tom Blythe and Rachel Zegler really sell that movie. The action's good. The actual Hunger Games is pretty fun. And then my only nitpick is I wish Viola Davis was in it more because she played a really good villain in this. So that'd be my number 9.
Number 9. Jay?
My number 9 is Killers of the Flower Moon. Even though I had problems, you know, with it, understanding some of it, like I had to do a history test before I was able to understand a lot of it. But after taking the history test, it was pretty fun. Not that murder and, you know, killing everybody is fun, but you know, it was the movie, you know, good on, but the performances were good. The cinematography, I love the cinematography of the movie though. It was a gorgeous looking movie.
It's pretty cool that you said that though, because like the one of the local news stations here in the city posted like a little history lesson about it before the Oscars today, and it was a pretty good read. So it's pretty nice. Number 9 for me is going to be Talk to Me, a fun A24 horror movie. It's my favorite horror movie of the last year. It's different. It doesn't just affect you with jump scares. There's a story behind it. There's a twist that you think could or could not happen, and it's dark. You know, we had a full episode on last year, so it's my number 9. It's going to be Talk to Me. So, number 8, Zach.
Number 8 is one of the last movies that came out last year. Number 8 is Wonka. I just had a blast with it. I thought Timothy Chalamet did his own thing, but still kind of paying tribute to Gene Wilder and even Johnny Depp to a certain extent. I liked how I watched one of the documentaries on the Blu-ray, and I like how Paul King was very much like, I want to do this kind of like in Technicolor, like a 50s musical. And I really enjoyed it. I thought like the chocolate cartel thing was a funny bit, and it set them. I think you could maybe do another one just to see like the dark side of Willy Wonka, but really how he comes and his love for chocolate. I really, really liked that backstory. And it was just it's a very feel good movie, to be honest. Like I was like, yeah, this is fun. And I'd watch it again. So yeah, Wonka number 8.
Jay, what's number 8 for you?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. A big animated fan, a big Ninja Turtles fan, and I felt that they nailed it pretty much. I just hope they get a sequel so we can, you know, see what they do with the Shredder storyline, because I think that'd be pretty cool. But in this one, they were actual teenagers. You know, you felt the voices were great. The villain, I didn't really give two shits about the villain. But I thought they filled up the screen with enough of the villains that it didn't overclusterfuck the movie. You know, that it all made sense to a point. And they did it in a very relatively short runtime, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was only like 80-something minutes. And they were able to pack all that in. So.
And, yeah, you said if the animation was great. I went and checked it out in the theater, and then it was a blast. And then I bought it and watched it again and still had fun with it. I'm with you. I really do want to see what they do with the second one and with the Shredder, especially with that little tease at the end. So I'm sure they'd make another one too, because it made a shit ton of money.
They're making a turtle show with the animation the animation style that they're doing now in the movie, called Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for Nickelodeon TV. They already have, it's like a 10 to 12 episode season, and then it'll lead into the second movie, they said.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, the sequel is supposed to be, it's currently scheduled for October of next year, or 2026, October 9th, 2026. So.
Nice. So that was your number 8, right, Jay?
Correct.
Okay, number 8 for me I talked about it earlier. It was my favorite comedy. I won't spend too much time on it. So Barbie, for it being a 2-hour movie, it kind of flew by for me. Like I said, I'll say a few more things about it. My favorite was Ryan Gosling. I think he's super funny. He plays that, you know, that male-esque character pretty good. The songs are hilarious. I'm actually looking forward to seeing him perform Ken tonight. I hope it's pretty funny. That's what I'm hoping for. Will Ferrell's little cameo shots are good. You know, I just go in and went in with an open mind and just laughed. So
yeah.
So that's my number 8 is Barbie. Number 7, Zach.
Number 7, I think we'll have this on everyone's list. So I'll just go ahead and start off. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Loved it. It was a great theater experience. I thought it actually looked, every scene in that movie is so picturesque. It's beautiful, like all the watercolors. I think they excelled on the animation on the second one. I think the story outdid the first one. And it really set up a really awesome cliffhanger to Beyond the Spider-Verse and how it's going to end this trilogy of films. The voice cast was great. I thought Hailee Steinfeld did an amazing job as Gwen Stacy in this. I thought she really had the emotion that she needed to do this part. And I'm just looking forward to Beyond the Spider-Verse, even though we probably should have been talking about it this month, but it got pushed and we don't know when it's going to come out. So that's my number 7.
Dang, was it really supposed to already come out this month?
Yeah.
Supposed to come out relatively soon. Yeah.
Yep.
Animation. They said animation is the reason why it's not coming out yet. Like, they still have some animation work, but, you know, who knows? It'd be politics.
So that was your number 7. Jay, what's your number 7?
The new Hunger Games movie. It made me, as soon as I was done with it, I sat there and went and watched the other 4 again. It made me want to revisit the entire franchise. Saga. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Nice.
I enjoyed it. There's not much more I could talk about it. You know, Zach already hit the nail on the head pretty well on what was good about it.
Number 7 for me is another Joaquin Phoenix movie, but this time I don't think it was overrated. Bo is Afraid. The newest Ari Aster movie. It got a lot of flack for some reason, but it's like a 3-hour extravaganza that walks you through this man's life. The entire soundtrack and score is like Punch Drunk Love, so it gives you anxiety the entire time you're watching it. And the movie feels really Paul Anderson-esque, or not Paul Anderson. Yeah,
Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah.
Paul, yeah. But it's just, it's not, it's Ari Aster, it's A24, and Joaquin Phoenix. I think it's one of his best performances since he did Joker. And I think, you know, I'm kind of shocked that he didn't get any kind of recognition for this, because he's one of those actors that just goes anywhere and he can do everything. He bored the hell out of me, though, with Napoleon. But again, I don't think that was his fault. But Bo is Afraid is a 3-hour movie. If you have time, I would check it out. I think it's on Paramount Plus, where it's on the Vudu. But yeah, you know, it's wild. It's a wild movie.
It's definitely a mindfuck of a movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think his performance in Bo is Afraid is better than Napoleon, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But Bo is Afraid is number 7 for me. So here we go. Number 6 already, Zach.
Number 6. One of the most fun experiences I had at the theater last year, John Wick Chapter 4. Loved it. I thought it was the best of the franchise. They don't need to do a Chapter 5, to be honest, but hey, like I said, money talks. I think the funnest thing about these John Wick movies is that they always strive to do more than the previous. So like all the action sequences in this film outdo like the past 3. There's great moments. Keanu Reeves kicks ass out as usual. Bill Skarsgård, I wanted to punch him in the face every time he was on screen. And I think probably probably the car scene is probably my favorite, where he's just drifting all the way through the French streets of Paris, knocking dudes out, pushing them in front of cars, killing them one by one. It was just a really fun experience. And we had a great audience when we saw the theater. So it really helped with that. So like I said, we don't need a chapter 5, but we're going to get one. So yeah, number 6, John Wick chapter 4.
Oof. Jay, number 6 for you.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. The action in that movie was no biting. I had to watch 6 before I watched it, but because I hadn't seen 6 either. So I got a double dose of Mission Impossible before. So I enjoyed the action. I like how no matter what they do with the Mission Impossible movies, they can always make them seem fresh. And and the plot makes sense. You know, it's a very, this one's about AI taking over, you know, yeah. And that's what was cool about it. It was like the holy shit that AI has selected this one guy and it's kind of given him the map to the future and everybody else has to play catch up. And it was a good cat and mouse game.
Does it make the ending make you excited for Dead Reckoning Part 2? Did you like how they're doing like a Part 1 and Part 2 with the franchise?
I'm fine with it. The Mission Impossible franchise, I've always enjoyed it. You know, every time they get a new director, I know Chris McCrory's been the director of the last 3 or 4, but usually they give them to a director, a new up-and-coming director, and they let them add their little spin to it. Like on Part 2, we got John Woo, you know?
Yep.
And then Part 3 was J.J. Abrams. Yep. Everybody got their little feel, but they also it all coalesced into something. And good villain. It was a good show.
Part 6 was I thought it was going to be almost impossible to top Part 6. But,
Fallout is incredible action movie.
Yeah, you know, they did it with Dead Reckoning, and it's like Tom Cruise just does not age. It's like he's got the fountain of youth somewhere. But my number 6 is, I think it's Zach, I think you already talked about it, The Iron Claw. It's number 6 for me. I think it was a phenomenal movie. You know, I can't wait to rewatch it for the episode here in a few weeks. Zac Efron's performance was outstanding. It was a long, you know, life and a long story for the Von Erichs, and it kind of got just shoved into a short 2-hour film. Like I said, we'll talk about it again in a few weeks, but man, you leave that theater completely heart crushed. So it was definitely a story and some performances that'll live forever. So I won't talk too much about it, but 6 for me was The Iron Claw. So yeah.
Well, that's our first half of the list.
So I'm confused. Who's next? Jay, you 6?
No, I already done my 6. It was Mission Impossible. See, we're on number 5 now.
I'm tired.
We're on the next topic. Where should we go next, Juan? Where should we go next?
Favorite director? Okay. We should talk about a favorite director. Sorry, The Iron Claw just was crushing my skull. That's what happened.
Get on your own Iron Claw real quick.
Yeah. Favorite director, man, this was kind of tough for me. I didn't have too many favorite directors, especially with, you know, most of them only do one movie a year anyway. But I had to mention, I'm going to mention Christopher Nolan, just because usually with his movies, he's just so, whether it's one-sided or, you know, it's going to be a certain kind of a sci-fi mindfuck. But with Oppenheimer, it was all right there on the table. It was a complex story. It wasn't too difficult. And he just said, look at this story. And like your eyes were glued the entire 3 hours. And, you know, it's almost Christopher Nolan's like Quentin Tarantino, Scorsese. No matter what he does, you got to drop what you're doing and go see it. So I applaud Christopher Nolan. Hats off to the guy. It was a fun year for him. Jay, what about you?
I went with Nolan. I thought Oppenheimer was real good. You know, the whole aesthetics of the movie, it's Christopher Nolan has a way, like, if you've seen the movie, you know, it shows, like, inside of his mind, he's thinking about these certain things, and when he looks at it, it comes back, has those little fog, it's atoms splitting and shit like that. Those little attention to details, you know, he looks at rain and sees that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just those little small details that he adds to a movie.
Yep.
So I haven't seen Tenet, so I can't sit there and say anything about Tenet, but with Oppenheimer, I was very happy. And like you said, for 3 hours, the runtime goes by very quickly. And it's just a real good overall movie.
Zach?
Yeah, 3 for 3, Christopher Nolan. I do think that this is his masterpiece. Oppenheimer is his masterpiece. It takes someone that's really masterclass to say, I'm going to do a biography and tell about quantum mechanics and the building of a nuclear weapon and also have all these court cases. And him make it into a 3-hour epic. Not many people can do that. And Nolan, you know, I think all of us are in conclusion that he's going to win the Oscar tonight for Best Director. Totally deserves it. It was just a privilege and really an honor to get to see that movie on the biggest screen possible. So
that'd be his first win, right?
Yep.
Should have got it for The Dark Knight, but you know.
People were pissed that it wasn't nominated.
Yeah. You know what? Favorite actor. Usually this is kind of nailed down to just a few, but. And this was kind of the same thing. I thought everybody was going to have the same actor. I had such a hard time with this one. So bear with me. There's a reason behind my madness. But my favorite actor from last year was Nicolas Cage. Because of all the movies he did, whether it be the independent films that just went straight to DVD, and you know whether they're crappy or not, you know, he also put out Renfield. And then just a few months later after that, he put out Dream Scenario. So that shows you, and then you have the independent films sandwiched in between. So it shows you what kind of actor he is. Like, you know, he can do a comedy horror movie. He can do some probably not needed independent films. And then he can do something like Dream Scenario, which was just pure Nicolas Cage gold for that movie. And man, I talked to Kevin about this on the sports podcast. I can't believe I'm comparing Nicolas Cage to LeBron James, but people make fun of Nicolas Cage all the time for the different movies and roles that he does. But like, what other actor just has fun doing what he does, whether he's doing it because he's, you know, whatever reason, enjoy the actor while we have him in front of us. Cause when he hangs it up, you know, he's done. So Nicolas Cage, I think, to me, was my favorite actor from last year. I enjoyed everything he did.
Nice.
Jay?
I went with Cillian Murphy just because, you know, I liked his performance in Oppenheimer. It was a very focused performance, you know, seeing him go from, you know, the Scarecrow and Batman to playing a true-to-life person, and just his sense of, I don't know what it was, man. I was just drawn to him while I was watching it. Nolan chose wisely whenever he chose him. And he's like, I've read somewhere that Nolan told him he was one of the greatest actors of his time just because of the role, the job he did with the Oppenheimer.
So and that's a good pick. Cause like tonight, hopefully,
That's my pick. Is everybody says Nolan. We all three chose Nolan for our directors, and he'll win tonight for Oppenheimer. And Cillian Murphy is my choice for taking it home tonight for the best actor category.
Well, he definitely deserves it because it's going to be, again, long overdue for him. Zach, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. Cillian Murphy. I agree with you, Jay. I think Cillian Murphy has it in the bag for tonight's Oscar. I could see Paul Giamatti. He's like really in close second because I thought you know, as we talked about last week, his performance is really good in the holdovers. But Cillian Murphy, he delivers a whole wide range of emotion from like the urgency of building the bomb to like his regret towards the later half of the movie of like the ungodly power that he's unleashed onto the world. And Cillian Murphy just brings in every scene he's in. It's just like, I agree with you, Jay. Your eyes are stuck on him the entire 3 hours. And I really don't know if there's another actor that would be able to pull that off, especially for a Christopher Nolan movie.
Oh, man. Yeah. Best theater experience of the entire year last year.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go first.
I didn't go see one movie in theaters last year because I was a broke motherfucker.
Okay.
I've watched movies at Sam's house, my buddy Sam's house. He has a projector and his whole wall is a screen. I've seen a few movies on that, but
okay, so let's go with this then. Go first as far as like if you could pick one movie from last year to see on the biggest screen possible, which one would you go see?
That's a tough one, man. I'd probably go with Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse just because the colors and everything, and that movie was a trip seeing. So I'll probably go with that one. I probably would have had a lot of fun with that. The colors and the pop and everything and the surround sound just
flipped. So Spider-Man was great. I only saw a handful of movies on the big screen last year just because of the timing. Like if I wanted to dedicate myself to a 2-hour movie on the theater, I knew it was going to have to be 3 hours out of my day, not just the runtime of the movie. Right. So with everything going on with the schedule, I didn't see very much. But you know what? The one thing I did get to go see is I saw, was it the 75mm of Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
And, you know, I walked out of that movie saying to myself and thinking to myself, that was the greatest movie that I've seen the entire year. That movie came out in July. And for the first 7 months, I could not give any kind of movie a 10. But after seeing it in the theater, hearing it, the testing of the bomb, Nolan made you want to feel everything. So the theater experience for that movie was probably the best of the year. So I'm going to go with Oppenheimer. Zach, what about you?
My theater experience, Killers of the Flower Moon, getting to see that story on the big screen was heartbreaking, thrilling. Just my eyes were glued for the whole 3.5 hours, and it takes a mastercraft. Like, you know, we talked about Nolan, but Scorsese, he still's got it. He's in his 80s, and that's pretty impressive. It's incredible, to be honest. Three great performances and just a story that needed to be told, to be honest, because I think all three of us agree, we didn't know anything about the Osage murders, anything like that. And getting to see that told through the eyes of Scorsese, that was an experience. So
speaking of Scorsese, I know we're most of us might go with
conclusion.
This conclusion. Yeah. Favorite actress for me, Lily Gladstone. I don't think it's a close second. I try to think of another actress that maybe I had fun with watching in a movie. I couldn't think of anything. People were so hyping Poor Things and Emma Stone. I watched it and I was like, you know, no, not my cup of tea. She was good, don't get me wrong, but there's no way in comparison to Lily Gladstone to take that character, have a stone cold look on her face throughout the whole movie. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal job. Jay, what about you?
I also went with Lily Gladstone. You know, I bought every time I've seen her on screen, that she has that look in her eye like she is sick. She's being controlled, you know what I mean? She's able to sell me that she was a dying person or a sedated dying person throughout the entire, run, while she's on screen. And just to her sass.
Yep.
She fits Leo's attitude. You know, you can see why they get together. You know, they're seen whenever they're driving together, and you know, they had their little banter between each other. That scene right there, that was one of her better scenes, I thought, you know.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up as far as her eyes go. And I never thought about it till you just said it, but just looking at her in her face, her feeling like, yeah, like a sick, controlled person. I think that was perfect words by your end. That was pretty good. Zach, what about you?
3 for 3, Lily Gladstone. I also, just to add on to that, I think she sold the horror of the situation that she was in. It was just one of those like endless, she, you know, spoiler alert from the movie, she lost her sister, she lost her mom. It was just a continuous hell that she went through until like the last maybe 30 minutes of the movie. And it takes an actress like Lily Gladstone to pull that off and just say, hey, this was a real person that went through all this. And yeah,
she does. She does a lot of emoting through her eyes in this movie. Next time you rewatch it, pay attention to her eyes. Like, seriously.
Yeah. I agree. And I think she has it in the bag for tonight for the Oscar.
I agree. So. I think we're all in agreement there on that, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to
the little gold statue.
You know, we saw her. I watched her on the Jimmy Kimmel show, and you guys will never believe what movie made her want to be an actress.
What movie was that, sir?
Return of the Jedi.
Really?
Oh wow!
Yeah. She said that when she was
breaking it out.
Yep, she said that when she was little, she wanted to be one of the heroes like the little Ewoks were. She loved.
So I was about to say she wanted to be a fucking Ewok. Oh
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I saw that interview. Yeah, I remember that. So, now.
And I can't wait to not only see. I'm praying that she wins, but like I want to hear her speech. I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
This is our last favorites awards go to, but favorite animated film. There was a lot of them out there. You know, Spider-Man, Elemental. Bunch of them, but mine's gonna be mine's gonna be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was in my honorable mentions. The colors, the comedy, the jokes, the dark feelings of the villain. Is it voiced by Ice Cube? So Jackie Chan as the rat, hilarious, phenomenal. Splinter. Yeah, that's Splinter. Jay, what about you?
I went with something that's high on my list. It's Super Mario Brothers, man. I had so much fun with that movie. Being a Nintendo kid growing up, like I did. I grew up Nintendo. And playing Mario and just learning the story as that, because I was that consumer kid that grew up with how the Mario story was evolving. You know, I grew up with the shitty 93 movie. You know, I did. I was like 11, 12 years old when that came out. So it was aimed at me. So seeing this one, I was like, this is what a Mario movie should be.
It was a lot of fun. That one came in close second for me. I had a hard time picking. Zach, favorite animation film?
Favorite animation movie, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. It was my number 7 on my list. Just the colors, and like you said, Jay, the pop, and just like the very picturesque feeling of that entire film. It's beautiful to look at, and it's just it really puts Spider-Man in a whole different light, and it's really cool that we've gotten these two movies, and you know, it's a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. Speaking of fun, we're down to the nitty-gritty. Let's talk our top 5 favorite movies of 2023. I had a really tough time with this list. But there are some fun performances. There are some fun true stories. There's also some fun performances going on. I think I already said that. But number five for me, I won't waste any more time. Dream Scenario, Nicolas Cage. I had so much fun with Nicolas Cage in this movie. You know, he's the man of your dreams in this movie. It feels like a weird version of basic dad / Freddy Krueger vibes going on in this movie. I did not know what I was expecting, but I walked in curious and I walked out satisfied as far as the story, the bizarreness of A24, and Nicolas Cage just killing it. So, yeah, go check it out. I think it would be fun to talk about one day. We had a whole month dedicated to Nicolas Cage last year, and he's just continuing the Cage-esque with everything that he's doing. So, Dream Scenario, number five for me. Nice. Yeah. Jay, what about you?
I went with Iron Claw. The performances in it. See, the thing that I liked about Iron Claw, it's a unique film. Yes, like Johnny said, that they take a large portion of somebody's life and they shoved it in 2 hours, and it did it justice. But knowing, being a wrestling fan, it seemed like they rushed it a little bit, because it made me go back and rewatch there was a documentary produced by WWE called the Triumph and Tragedy of WCCW, and it pretty much told the same story that the Iron Claw did, but seeing the real footage compared to the actors and everything, that was pretty cool. That made me want to go learn more about them again, you know. So that's my number five is the Iron Claw.
Man, yeah, that movie so far has been on all three of our top 10 lists in just a few short weeks. I think 4 weeks from today, you know, Sunday, April 7th, we'll be talking about it. So that should be a fun conversation.
My only complaint about the movie is that I could not stop staring at Zac Efron's face. What the fuck did he do to his face?
Yeah. I had a coworker who said she saw a trailer for Iron Claw. I was like, that's not Zac Efron. I was like, yeah, it is. It is. He's really bulked up to it.
That's funny. Zach, number five?
Number five, last week's episode, The Holdovers. I won't waste a lot of time on it. Go listen. We did a full fun conversation about it. And it just made my number five. So
I thought it'd be higher on your list. You really like that movie.
Yep.
Number four for me. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I will say 6 through 10 was pretty much locked in. My top five, depending on the day, they could just be switched around. That's how hard the top five was for me. So
somebody said Viola Davis earlier, but number right, Zach, you mentioned her.
He mentioned her because of the Hunger Games movie.
She's in my movie, but number four for me is going to be Air.
Michael Jordan story.
But yeah, the greatest Nike story that I've witnessed. Matt Damon, Jason Bateman, Ben Affleck, Viola Davis. Man, what a just phenomenal story. It's kind of like The Wedding Singer, where they want you to know that they're for sure in the 80s, because they take the music, they take the shoes, the clothes, everything, and they're just throwing it in your face. But you know
wasn't that directed by Affleck?
It was, yeah.
Yep.
Directed by Ben Affleck, starring Ben Affleck. He was another one that was really close as far as like being a favorite director / actor for me. But you know, it's a fun movie. It's on Amazon Prime. I had the opportunity to check this out in the theater, plus purchasing it. And man, you have a good time with it. The music, the sure willpower of Matt Damon trying to get this deal done. And you know, I didn't know the full story going into it, so that probably also helped me too. Obviously, we know what happened, but it's fun to just know how you got there. And I highly recommend it. It was came out of nowhere movie for me. I didn't expect it to be this good, and then I didn't expect it to last the entire year with me. So
that was one of my 10 honorable mentions. And really, and you can make an argument that was an underrated movie of last year, because not a lot of people know about it.
Yeah. And it's good to see that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are still together and can still put out good quality films so many years later. So Air is number four for me. Jay, what's number four for you?
Spider-Man Across the Universe. or both Spider-Verse. There we go. Like that, the movie's been pretty much talked to death by now on the visuals, how everything looked. And so I'll just leave it at that.
Nice.
Zach, number four for you.
Number four, one of our first episodes we did for 2024, A Good Person, starring Florence Pugh and Morgan Freeman. This was probably one of the more emotional driven films I saw last year. I truly think that Florence deserved an Oscar nomination for this performance. I thought she was incredible. It was one of the better Morgan Freeman performances we got in a very long time, directed by Zach Braff. And it's just a roller coaster of emotions. You know, we talked about, I think the strongest thing that this movie showed was the horrors of drug use and how it's just a roller coaster. And one day you're good and I can, you know, I'm on my feet, and the next day she's, you know, popping three whole bottle of pills. So it's I think it's on MGM Plus, or it's on Johnny's Voodoo. So if Jay, if you haven't got a chance to see it, very, very good. So yeah, number four.
Number four. Oof, top three. Any of these could have been one, two, or three. I didn't know how to sandwich them in between, but I think I'm going to continue to go with it. Number three for me is going to be Killers of the Flower Moon. Really good theater experience. Rewatching it, I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But you just get locked in to the characters, to the story, to the murders, to the whodunit story sometimes, the cinematography. Yeah, it's a phenomenal movie with some phenomenal performances. Number three, Killers of the Flower Moon. We also just got done almost doing a whole episode on it just a few weeks ago, so really fun conversation. So that's my number three. Jay?
My number three is, let me check my list. I'm away from my list. It is Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Mm. I like my top three isn't due to quality, I guess you'd say. It's just my experience watching them. So my experience watching that was, it was cool. It was like seeing some old friends again. It was heartbreaking seeing Rocket's backstory. I'm a big comic book nerd, so that's why it was better than Quantumania, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But
I think it was the best Marvel movie that came out last year. So
yeah, it was really good.
There's a lot of overall meaning, you know, what makes a perfect person and what is perfection, because that's what the doctor was trying to find was perfection. And that was my number three.
Nice.
Number three for you, Zach?
Number three is a film that I didn't know was a thing earlier this year, and I just started to hear all the buzz and the hype about it and got to see it twice, two different versions of it, and it was just a total incredible experience. Number three is Godzilla Minus One. Loved it. It was, I never thought that, you know, you go to Godzilla movies for the destruction and the chaos and just monsterness. But I walked out and I cared about the humans. I cared about the post-war story of Japan after the atomic bomb. I cared about the characters. I cared about, you know, how does a community come back after a huge traumatic experience. And on top of all that, you get, you know, Godzilla and his destructive power. And it was an incredible experience to see it on a big screen. I got to see both the colorized and the black and white version. And the black and white version brings a whole new depth and meaning to the picture. And that to me is, if you're a filmmaker and you can do that, you've done your job. So that's number three, Godzilla Minus One. I highly, highly recommend it.
I hope we get a U.S. physical media release.
I'm if it, Criterion, man, day one.
So, number two for me, I got to check it out over the weekend. American Fiction. I just wanted to hurry up and rush this movie in before this episode and before the Oscars, not knowing anything about it, not knowing anything about the story. but I walked away just in awe of the story, the performance by Jeffrey Wright. It was not directed by Spike Lee, but it felt like just a sophisticated Spike Lee story. I loved everything about it. Cillian Murphy, Nicolas Cage was my favorite actor, but Jeffrey Wright had every single different type of emotion on his face in this movie. He was pissed. He was sad. He was loving. He was crying. The dude just had, it was almost like every other scene, he was just in a different emotion, and I believed him for every single second. Phenomenal story.
We talked about it earlier this year. He could be the dark horse. He could win. He could maybe win tonight for best actor.
Yeah. I was just in awe of American Friction. Highly recommend it. And it's really another thing. If you notice, it's sandwiched in between some movies that I'm naming, and like it doesn't take 3 hours to tell this great story. It's only like an hour and 50 minutes, or it's 2 hours exactly. Yeah, it's an hour and 57 minutes. So, yeah. MGM Plus, or hopefully it'll come out on physical media soon, but American Friction is number two for me. Jay, what's number two for you?
My number two is, I know it's not the greatest quality, but again, it's something I had so much fun with, and it's the Super Mario Brothers movie. I told you that I grew up with that shitty's 90 movie, and seeing this new one was like, oh yeah, they finally got it right. It was a little slow on plot, but we didn't need a big plot. We just needed to know that Bowser's coming to get the queen or the princess, and Mario's gonna save her. That's all we needed.
I can't wait to see what they do with the next one. I think they just announced it at the Nintendo Comic-Con thing. It's not Comic-Con, but it's like Nintendo's big press release. I think the second one comes out next year, or 2026.
April 3rd, 2026.
Yeah.
So.
And look at that movie. It made over $1 billion.
Yep.
So that should tell you something. They got it right, finally. Yep.
Zach, what's number two for you, sir?
Number two, I think all of us have mentioned it, or we've all now mentioned it, Killers of the Flower Moon. Favorite theater experience. We've talked to death about it, and I'll just say, go check out our episode. We did a full length episode on it, and it was an interesting conversation. So
number one, best theater experience.
I think all of us are in agreement for this.
It was my first 10 of the year. Still, I've only got two 10s the entire 2023 year, and it's number one for me is Oppenheimer. You take a three-hour movie, you have three different sections of a great story. The performances, Robert Downey Jr., Cillian Murphy, it was phenomenal. It was so much fun. I'll leave it at that because I'm pretty sure we're all going to add to it. Jay, number two, or number one?
Oppenheimer as well. We watched the best movie of the year, if you ask me. So it there's not much more I can say on it. We've talked quite a bit about it because it's made our list in quite a few different ways. So what about you, Zach?
Number one, Oppenheimer. I think it's going to rule the night tonight at the Oscars, to be honest. I think, like we say, Christopher Nolan, Cillian Murphy, Best Picture, might get a couple more technical awards. So I'm excited to see how it's going to play out. But yeah, I think Christopher Nolan, I think all of us can agree, is a genius at what he does. And he made me want to sit through, I've seen this movie three or four times now. And the best thing about it is you catch something different on every viewing. And that's what a movie should do. So
I've seen it twice now.
So that's it. That's our top 10 of the year.
That's it.
And we have so much fun doing this, every single year. We started it back in 2019, and then it's just caved into its own episode. It's so much fun, and I can't wait for next year. There's already been some good movies coming out. So that being said, since we are streaming this live on Oscar Sunday. We'll talk a little Oscar predictions before we head out. Everybody agrees. And, you know, I think this is finally the year. And I know you both agree that finally can the Oscars get it right? Can they finally say that, hey, the best movie of the year is something that everybody's seen and everybody agrees is the best. If they go with something different, I think this is going to be like a fucking Saving Private Ryan, Shakespeare in Love kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know what, Zach and Jay, I watched Poor Things, and I know Poor Things is getting like a lot of hype for Best Picture. When you're watching it, it feels like it's that this year's version of like Shakespeare in Love. Like it's that stupid, nitwitty. It's not entertaining at all. It's kind of a gross comedy, dark satire. And I'm like, surely they won't send us something that leaves a bitter taste in our mouth. So hopefully Oppenheimer just steals away with it. I'm hoping.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping as well. I see that as Best Picture and Nolan winning Best Director.
Yeah, I think Robert Downey Jr. has in the bag for Oppenheimer for supporting actor, and Divine Jordan Randolph for The Holdovers for supporting actress. And everything else, I mean, I will say the Academy has gotten better at just doing a little bit diverse, like not everything, not one picture has to win everything. So I could see Killers getting something, Barbie getting something. Unfortunately, I think Poor Things will get something. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And don't get me wrong, like I'm not bashing Poor Things. It's good for its own certain reasons, but it's just one of those like, and it's on Hulu, and then it'll be available on Tuesday to purchase. So if anybody wants to check it out on Hulu, I wouldn't mind one of you guys checking it out. We'll talk about it next week or the week after. But yeah, tonight hopefully should be fun. And you know, hopefully the Oscars get some TV ratings too, because man, I think it's just a matter of time before they do what Netflix did with the SAG awards. And I think it's a matter of time before somebody just bids for the Oscars and it's going to go straight to streaming next year or the year after.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because nobody watches these things.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got too political.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep.
Every time.
Before we went on air, ABC was on my Facebook feed and it said, watch the Oscars tonight. So I went to the comment section and looked at it. And there was almost 1,000 comments. And most of those comments were, not watching it. You got Jimmy Kimmel to host again. Like, I stopped watching this shit years ago. And that was the consensus was, you know, for every 9, there was one comment that was like, yeah, I'll watch it tonight. And then the big thing was, I'll watch it if Will Smith is on it. So that was another big comment from people like, is Will Smith going to be on it? Then I don't want to watch it. So,
what happened to the years that Billy Crystal got to host it? Where's he at? Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive, but he's probably like, fuck the Oscars.
There was a few times where he did like 2-3 years in a row.
That's probably why he's done. He's done the show. He's like, done. I've done it.
I don't want to do it again. Yep.
Wasn't there a year where they didn't even have a host?
Yeah.
And to me, I thought it smooth ran quicker than doing all the hosts and all the monologues. We just got to the awards and got out.
Yeah. But it's a special start time tonight too, right? Doesn't it start at like 6 p.m.?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So we'll be done by 11.
Well, I hope it doesn't drag that long. I literally hope, like, why can't they do like a 6 to 9 kind of thing? I really do hope that this is maybe its last year on network TV, and I hope that it goes to like a streaming service, because that's one thing I'm upset about is the whole political thing. Every time you get like somebody like Meryl Streep nominated, she'd have to go up there and talk about political shit. I'm like, lady, we saw your movie. Just take your award, say your thanks, and go. Like, there's no...
Exactly.
And even Leo, man. Leo kind of did the same thing when he won, but he talked about the environment. So I guess that's a little bit different, but it still led to a political campaign. So
one of the comments in the that I read was, why is it, why would I want to watch a show where everyone there hates me?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that one too. Why would I watch a show where people don't like me? How can you not like your paying customer?
That's true. That's true. It's I don't know. It's a little baffling. I think
Oscars.
Yeah. It's almost like on the aspects of like an extinct award.
Do you notice they didn't say what year it was this year?
Oh, like the 97?
Yeah, they're just calling it the Oscars this year. They're it's like we know how this fucking thing is.
I think it's the 96 Oscars. I think it's the last probably big award show that people care about, which I know, Jay, you said there's a lot of people on the comments that said that they're not going to watch it, but in some form or fashion, they care, like, who won Best Picture, because, you know, obviously, it's just like, you know,
I think that's dying out with probably our generation, like our 80s and 90s generation. Like, I think if you're born after 99 or 2000, people don't give a shit about this award. People don't give a shit about this award ceremony. It's just one of those. I don't even think people give a shit about half the movies that are being nominated. They're like, oh, Barbie made a billion.
Not like they used to.
Yeah. They're like, Barbie made a billion. I'll go see that. Or, you know what? I think, if anything, say if Netflix had like a streaming award or something like that. Or, you know how the MTV Movie Awards used to be like the thing? For the longest time, that used to be more popular than the Oscars. I think something like that could possibly happen.
Do they do the MTV Movie Awards?
The last time I seen they did, but I don't know if they do now.
They still do them. Yeah. But like, but you know,
not
I think
as good as they used to be.
No, no, for sure. But I think people just don't care about these awards. And I mean, honestly, you can't blame them anymore, because it's almost like, you know, we're going to give you shit, or we're going to give you a political stance. If you don't like it, you can turn it off. And guess what? People are turning it off.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if, I mean, surely these things will still be here. But
tomorrow, there's going to be a headline of record low viewers watched the Academy Awards last night. I guarantee it. It's going to see another record low. That's my prediction.
Yeah. Unless it goes to like a streaming service, that's the only thing I can think that would save these things from being just extinct. But let's a little bit of a funner topic. Next week, Sunday, March 17th, we continue Clerks. Should be fun. It's our first Kevin Smith movie we've ever done. We've been doing this show since 2018. First Kevin Smith movie, and I'm kind of happy that it is Clerks. So it should be a fun topic, fun conversation. There are some announcements, though, starting with episode 301. Which should be sometime this summer. Episode 300 will be our last weekly show. Episode 301, from that point on, we're going to be doing every 2 weeks bi-weekly. So every other Sunday, possibly starting with episode 301. If not, then it'll be like a rotation. Like, me and Zach will hang out and do it 1 week. Me and Jay hang out and do it the other week. So, yeah, I'm still kind of deciding. I don't know what to do yet, but there will be some kind of like bi-weekly episode starting with episode 301. But that's this summer. We still have a lot of time to go. It should be pretty fun. But, man, 2023 is in the bag. There's still a lot of other movies that we could probably talk about that we might still talk about. But Jay, we'll start with you. Are you excited for Clerks next week?
I am very excited. It's one of my favorite movies.
You sir, introduced me to Clerks, so it'll be pretty fun. I rewatched it I watch it like once or twice a year, and I watched it over the summer last year, so should be another fun rewatch for sure. Zach, what about you? Oh, go ahead.
Always see or hear something different when I rewatch it. So I've probably seen it about 15 times by now. Seen it at the drive-in.
Man. So, yeah, Zach, any final nails in the coffin of 2023 before we move on?
Yeah, I think overall 2023 was a good year for film, and it's 2024. Started off a little rocky, but I think we're gonna have some good things coming out that we'll talk about. So yeah, so excited for the Oscars, and we'll see who gets crowned Best Picture, the new Best Picture. Even though all of it's in agreement with what we want, what should happen.
Yeah. Yeah, should be fun. And then don't forget Monday, March 18th, episode 1 of Sports Breaks. We're going to be talking and revealing our NCAA men's basketball bracket. Episode 1, Monday, March 18th. Other than that, guys, I think we're going to call it a day. We'll see everybody next week for Clerks right here on another new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Next Sunday, Clerks. 37, what?